I greet you in the name of Jesus. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. A hearty welcome to each and every one of you. A hearty welcome if you have guests in our midst. May you also feel the love of God amongst our congregation. The Lord has blessed us with a beautiful day. We just want to thank him for that. And he has blessed us with the opportunity where we can assemble ourselves in his house and nourish our soul from his holy word. But before we go to that, let us unite our hearts for opening prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne of grace and thank you for creating us. May those around us see you in our lives and remind us of your great love toward us when you sent your Son down to earth when we were yet sinners, and finally die on the cross that our sins might be forgiven. May we carry this forgiveness also in our lives. Thank you for not leaving us alone in this world to cope against Satan and his tactics. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that will help us to overcome Satan. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for the hope that is ours. We know that because you arose from the dead, we too will someday arise from the grave, victorious on our way to heaven, where we will live in your holy presence forever. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Take the red book and turn to number 244. Lord Jesus, I long to be perfectly whole. 244.
Now wash me and shall be whiter than snow.
263, yield not to temptation.
Had I known that you had been singing this song, I wouldn't have prepared a message. There's a message in itself in that song, if we just can digest all of that. Have you ever had the experience when you had an off day and a young child comes up to you and touches you? What does that do? It changes your whole outlook, doesn't it? But what do you... Or can you imagine what it does when Jesus touches you? We want to look at some individuals in the Bible that were touched by Jesus and what the outcome was of that. These individuals, they approached Jesus. They all approached him in different ways. There was a leper that came to Jesus one day, and he said to Jesus, "You can heal me." Rather bold statement, I would say. Yet leprosy was a dreaded disease in those days. Anybody with leprosy had to live apart from the rest of the society. Now this leper, he did not question Jesus' ability to heal him. He had faith in Jesus to heal him. But what the leper wanted to know, Matthew chapter 8, verse 2. It says, "And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." Leprosy is an illustration of our sin. Leprosy in those days, they could not heal. Likewise with sin. Sin cannot be healed by mankind. There's only one way how sin can be healed, and that is by Jesus. He did that on the cross for us when he took all our sins upon himself. We know that Jesus can take away our sins, just like the leper knew that Jesus could heal him. Our question also is he willing? Is he willing to heal our sins? Yes, he is. 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." This leper, he had faith in Jesus. And Jesus touched him, and immediately this leper was healed. Going back to Matthew chapter 8. Verse 3. "And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed." Likewise will Jesus do with our sin when we come to him in faith. His touch will take our sin away immediately. We do not have to wait. And one day, two blind men came to Jesus. What was their first comment? "Open our eyes." No, that wasn't that. They recognized him as a long-awaited Messiah, and they first of all asked for his mercy. Matthew chapter 9. Starting with verse 27. "And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it." Now, Jesus didn't outright give them sight, but he asked them a question first. "Do you think that I am able to do this?" And they believed he could. They had faith in him. And Jesus said, "Because you believed, you will be able to see." And immediately, they could see. This blindness is a picture of spiritual ignorance and unbelief. Matthew 15, verse 14. It says, "Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. If the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch." Talking about following false doctrine. will also lead us into the ditch. There is no freedom in the ditch. We get stuck in the mud, just like these two blind men. We need to go to Jesus to remove that spiritual blindness. Not just go to him, but also having the faith, knowing that Jesus can heal our sins. When Jesus asks us if we believe, he can heal our sin. And may our answer be the same as the two blind men. Yes, we believe that Jesus can heal our sin. He will heal our spiritual blindness like he healed the two blind men. And then in Jerusalem, by the sheep market, there was a pool called Bethesda. And around this pool were lying many important individuals. They were blind, they were halt. And they were waiting around this pool. They were waiting for the moving of the water. At a certain season, an angel came down from heaven and troubled the water, that it moved. And the first one of these individuals that wanted healing, that stepped into this water, they were healed. Then we find this man lying beside the pool. This man had been an invalid for 38 years. Find that in John chapter 5. John chapter 5, verse 6 and 7. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The important man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. How true. No man can help us out of our sinful condition. But Jesus asks us the question, Wilt thou be made whole? In other words, I can heal you of your sinful condition. Even to this man that had this disease or important, whatever it was, lame, for 38 years, Jesus could still heal him after 38 years. And likewise, it does not matter with our sin. If we have been living in sin for 38 years, for 50 years, or even more, we can still come to God in the last hour and he will forgive us. Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30. Matthew 11, 28 to 30, where Jesus says, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And then in John 5, verses 8 and 9, Jesus talking again to this important individual by the pool. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. Where was the first place that this individual went after Jesus had healed him? He went to the temple. We would assume he went to the temple to praise God for the healing. And after he left the temple, he witnessed to others. He told others what Jesus had done to him. A very good example to us also. After we have been saved from our sin, that we also show our gratitude by serving him in church and telling the world what Jesus has done for us. In Mark, in chapter 5, we find a man with an unclean spirit. We could say he was demon-possessed. He lost his self-control, and he lived like a wild animal. Society was not able to help him. They tried to tie him up with chains, but he broke them. But here in this story, we find three different forces at work. There is Satan, society, and the Savior. These same three forces are still at work out there today, trying to control the lives of people. First of all, we can see what Satan can do to people. His main aim is to destroy. He can do this when we yield to sin, when we live a life that is not pleasing to God. But can you see the difference? We can avoid this. We can avoid this control by Satan when we accept Jesus as our personal Savior, when we live for God. Yes, when we accept Jesus as our personal Savior, we receive the Holy Spirit. And this Holy Spirit is stronger than Satan. This Holy Spirit will overcome Satan. But because this man yielded to Satan, the thief, he lost everything. He lost his home, his family, friends. He even lost his decency. He ran around naked in the tombs. He lost self-control, and he lived like a wild animal. And we know that this is true. This is what Satan does. We just have to look around us, especially in this age. We have individuals running around in the streets like wild animals. These have succumbed to sin, to the drugs. And Satan controls them. So never underestimate the destructive power of Satan. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." Yes, Satan is at work in unbelievers. And this should encourage us to resist Satan and have nothing to do with him. And the second force that we find in this story is society. About all that society can do for these people is to isolate them, put them under guard. And society, even today, cannot do a lot with the problems of Satan. There might be some physical protections that they can put in place, but spiritually, society cannot help us. The third force we have in this story is Jesus. What did the touch of Jesus do to this demon-possessed man? It delivered the demons from him. And after the demons were delivered from him, he was sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. And when Jesus was preparing to leave, this man wanted to go along with Jesus. He was so thankful what Jesus had done for him. He was a changed man. What did Jesus tell him? He says, go home and tell your friends what has happened. Tell them the great things that Jesus has done. And he went home and told the people the great things that Jesus had done for him. And that is our mandate. When we have been touched by Jesus, tell others the great things that Jesus has done for us. Now, are miracles still happening today? Yes, they are. As a matter of fact, Scripture tells us greater miracles than these are happening today. In John 14. John 14, verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. But we have to be careful. Very often the faith healers, they use this verse that Jesus is telling us he'll do greater miracles. But what Jesus is referring to here is spiritual healing, not physical healing. And he says we will do greater things because he's going to heaven. And what did he do when he went to heaven? What did he tell us? He said, I will send you a comforter. And that Holy Spirit in us is what he means by that. We will be doing greater miracles. Yes, those spiritual miracles that Jesus is working today are through the Holy Spirit. And they are greater than when the physical healings that Jesus did 2,000 years ago. Yes, Jesus still touches individuals. And when Jesus touches individuals, hearts and lives are changed. So what happens when we are touched and changed? We will look at that a little bit later in the next portion of our message. But before we go to that, we want to go on bended knee, whoever's able. And I have a couple of prayer requests that I would ask you to pray for. The first one is, please pray for Henry and Marge Redicup. Henry is in the Boundary Trails Hospital with breathing complications. And Henry is their brother to Sarah and Catherine Redicup, of our members here in church. And another prayer request is for Jake Hildebrandt. The son of Mrs. Weeb, whose funeral will be here tomorrow. He had a heart attack yesterday. He was airlifted to a hospital in Winnipeg, and the last report was that at midnight he had been stable as a young man. So we want to pray for these two men, and whoever's able, let us kneel and pray in the name of Jesus. May the Lord hear prayers and be merciful unto us. I believe I mentioned Ms. Reeve's funeral was tomorrow, just on Tuesday.
Take the blue book and turn to number 493, Face to Face. 493. Can we stand?
With Christ my Savior, face to face, what will it be? When with rapture I behold Him, Jesus Christ who died for me, face to face I shall behold Him, far beyond the starry sky. I shall see Him by and by. Only faintly now I see Him, with the darkling veil between. But a blessed day is coming, when His glory shall be seen. I shall behold Him far beyond the starry skies. Face to face in all His glory, I shall see Him by and by. Wait rejoicing in His presence when our banished grief and pain. Straightened and the dark things shall be plain. Face to face I shall behold Him far beyond the starry skies. Face to face in all His glory I shall see Him by and by. And know face to face with my Redeemer, Jesus Christ, who loves me so. Face to face I shall behold Him far beyond the starry skies. Face to face in all His I shall see Him by and by.
We know that in order for a structure to stand the test of time, it has to have a good foundation. And when you see some of these buildings in the big cities with those many, many stories, they're so tall, they must have a very deep foundation in order for them to keep standing. But when a Christian life is built, it is not built on the outside, first of all. We must go deeper than that. Our lives are also built upon a foundation. On which foundation are our lives built? On the solid rock of Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." This is not a foundation that we have to build. It already has been built. That foundation was laid when God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, down to earth to be born, to die, to arise from the grave. This is the foundation that we build upon. And if we do not build upon that foundation, our life on someone else or something else, our life will not stand the test of time. But nothing can shake that is built upon this foundation. Yes, Jesus is that foundation. Jesus tells us a story of two houses. One is built upon the sinking sand. The other is built upon the solid rock. We find that in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 27. "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." Yes, one house fell when the storms came. The house on the rock withstood the storms. Yes, in life, we've all experienced it, will bring a lot of storms. And if our life is built on that solid rock of Jesus Christ, we will be able to withstand the storms of this life. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Yes, when Jesus touches us, he lifts us out of the sinking sand and puts us upon that solid foundation, that solid rock. When we are touched and changed by Jesus, the world sees a difference in us. When the world looked at the apostles, they took note of them. They said those apostles had been with Jesus. There was a difference the world could see. Acts 14. Acts 4, verse 13. "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus." There is a notable difference from someone that has been touched by Jesus and someone of this world. Matthew 5, verse 16. Says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." We are not to keep this for ourselves. No, the world needs to hear and to see the difference, something that will attract them. Some time ago in the news, media was saying that the world was noticing us here in Manitoba. We were compassionate. We were giving. They saw the difference. In winter, when we look outside and all the trees are bare of leaves. When spring comes, it all changes. This same bare tree has leaves, green leaves. And everybody notices it. It is different. They have been touched by the spring. And so it is with life. When one has been touched by Jesus, we bear the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Yes, the whole world sees it when we are touched by Jesus. We are changed on the inside. And the world is not asking, to which church do you belong to? Are you a church member? They want to know if Jesus is real to us. They want to know if Jesus lives in your heart and if you are changed from the inside. And if you are changed from the inside, you will live a better outside. Yes, you and I, as Christians, are representatives of spiritual power. And so we must be the same inside and outside. Yes, our lives need to be the same every day. They need to be the same during the week as on Sunday. If not, we have no influence for Christ. Yes, when Christ touches and changes our life, he not only cleanses the inside, but the outside also changes. Outside is different. Yes, when we are touched, Jesus makes his abode in ours. Our bodies are the temple of God. And when God lives in us, others will feel the power of the good life. God said that Caleb had another spirit. In Numbers 14, verse 24. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land wherein to he went, and his seed shall possess it. It was a time when the children of Israel were in the desert on their way to the promised land. And Moses sent out spies to check out this promised land. He sent 12 spies. Two of them were Caleb and Joshua. And these 12 spies came back with a report. 10 of them said that it was impossible to overtake that land. There are giants, many people. But Caleb and Joshua, they came back with a different report. As a matter of fact, a completely different report. They said, yes, we can overtake them. Why did they have a different report? Like God said, Caleb had a different spirit. Caleb looked through spiritual eyes. What did that mean? He says, God told us before we entered that he would be with us and that we would overtake. That's on what he meant. That's what the spirit was in him. Whereas the other 10, they looked through carnal eyes. Carnally, it looked impossible with those giants and many people. But Caleb had a different spirit. He was fully obedient to God. Whereas all the others that came out of Egypt didn't have that spirit. They saw the same miracles that Caleb saw when God led them out of Egypt, the miracles of the sea. And Caleb, because he had another spirit, came into the promised land. Him and Joshua were the only adults that came out of Egypt that came into the promised land. All the adults that came out of Egypt had to succumb to the desert. They could not come to that promised land. Yes, when we are touched by Jesus, we have a different spirit. That is the Holy Spirit. It is a spirit of love and forgiveness. Yes, Jesus loved those that loved him, but he also loved those that hated him. And if we want to get even with someone, surely that is not the Christian spirit. Yes, Jesus is the only one who has ever gone all the way in the matter of the spirit. He was perfect. His heart was pure. His spirit was right. This is the example that we need to follow. Unless we have the Spirit of God in our everyday life, we have a long way to go. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." Do we, as Christians, live by that rule? Or do we kick him further into misery? And if Jesus would have taken that attitude, there would have been no hope for us in this world nor the world to come. It is not our business to get even with anybody. God can handle it better than we can. Just leave it to him. God says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. If we have been touched and changed, we should have that spirit of love and forgiveness, helping where we can, and simply leaving everything into God's hands. We will have compassion. We will be willing to give ourselves, whether it is time, talents, monetary. We will be willing to give to those that are in need, because all what we have is from God, which he wants us to use to further his kingdom. And if we have been touched by Jesus, we should have this spirit. Yes, and we will have a better future waiting for us. That is where the big difference comes in. And sometimes it seems that we as Christians have a harder life than the non-Christians. But God says he'll let it rain upon the good and the bad. But as Christians, we have a hope for the future, whereas the non-Christian has no hope. And this is what will count at the end of the day. It will not matter how much we have, or how famous we have, or how much power we have. The only thing that will matter is this: have you been touched by Jesus? And if you have been touched by Jesus, you have a hope in Christ for the future. This old grandfather was telling his grandchildren about his life, the many adventures and experiences that he had in life. He had many. They were captivated by his story. And then he said, "I expect to see even more greater experiences, greater things." And the grandchildren look at him and say, "How can that be? You are an old man. How do you expect to experience great adventures?" The old grandfather replied, "I will have the greatest adventure when I will be in heaven with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I thank God for the touch of Jesus. Where would we be if he had not come? And since he has done so much for us, we ought to give our lives in full surrender to him. And may God help us to be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of God, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us unite for closing prayer. Father, we thank you for your Spirit's presence in our midst this morning. We thank you for the opportunity to fall on our knees in prayer and worship. And Lord, we thank you for your touch, that you are willing to touch and change sinners as us. We pray for those that are lost. May they realize their lost condition and come to you for spiritual healing. Be with those that are struggling in life. May they find peace in you. Be with those that have lost loved ones. May they find comfort in your arms. And we thank you for a country that allows us the blessing of proclaiming your word. We pray for our government leaders, that they will realize where our blessings are coming from and that they will go to you for guidance. Bless all that have come to hear your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. We always have an opportunity to pray, not only here, but also at home. We can call upon the Lord in the morning and evening. So whoever is able, let us kneel in prayer and pray in the name of Jesus. May the Lord hear prayers and be merciful unto us.
Let's take your blue hymnal and turn to number 223. He will answer every prayer. 223. For those that are able, let's stand. If you cast on him your care, he will answer every prayer. He will answer every prayer. Go to him in faith, believing he will answer every prayer. He will not withhold one blessing. Everyone who makes requests, he will answer every prayer. He will answer every prayer. Go to him in faith, believing he will answer every prayer. He can hear the great position and the small is over there. Unto God pray without ceasing, he will answer every prayer. He will answer every prayer.
answer every prayer. Take to God your plans and failures, any time and anywhere. No one ever has gone unanswered, for he answers every prayer. He will answer every prayer. He will answer every prayer. Go to him in faith, believing he will answer every prayer.
Testing, there we go. Thank you, Brother Jake, for bringing us the message this morning. And also thank you for pianists and song leaders for leading us in singing again this morning. And just some announcements. We're back in the new year. Things are starting up again. And as you can see in the bulletin, there's baptism classes coming up. For those that are anticipating baptism this spring, we invite you to attend baptism classes in the prayer room Tuesdays at 7:30 p.m. Beginning February 10th, we'll be meeting once a week for approximately 10 weeks. Any questions, please contact Deacon Jake Bickert, Reverend Jake Hyde, and Bishop Ken Funk. The numbers are all in the bulletin there, or you can contact the church office. And then there is the marriage enrichment service. This is just to mark for your calendars. This is coming up in February. Lord willing, we are planning to host Johnny Elias, teacher, counselor at Peace Recovery Center at Peace River, Alberta, for 4 evenings, the week of February 2nd to the 5th. Each evening will start at 7, with 2 sessions per evening. There will be an intermission between the first and the second session, and we plan to conclude at 9 p.m. So that's going to be here in our church here. And also, men's breakfast is coming up January 17th. That's the third Saturday of the month, so it's men's breakfast starts at 9 a.m. And for this breakfast that's coming up in January, it's going to be prepared by the youth. So the youth hosting men's breakfast, and the menu is crackles, eggs, toast, fruit, and hash browns. So all men are welcome to come join us, as well as the young men, the boys. They're also welcome to come. And then there is just something for everyone to pray for the next couple of weeks. There's going to be a minister and a deacon election coming up in McGregor. That's January 30th at 7:30 p.m., so just keep that in mind and pray for the elections. And then a reminder, there's a seniors' coffee this Thursday at 2 p.m. Thank you for coming, and have a blessed Sunday.